for Geek Gamer Weekly.
Center of the most calculating intelligence on Earth.
The Uber Podcast, just for geeks and gamers.
We have news for the beautiful people. There's a lot more of us in our view.
With your hosts, Joseph Falby.
Men wanted to be like him. Women wanted to be with him.
John Kessler.
He will be talked about in the same way that Rockefeller and Carnegie and Ford are talked about.
And Chase Nunes.
For your information, butthead, he's headed for the video championships in Los Angeles.
Now, live from Earth.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
When?
Just now.
It's Geek Gamer Weekly.
This is Geek Gamer Weekly, episode number 217, recorded on Sunday, October 7th, 2012. The best show ever. Hey there. Hi, everybody. Welcome again to another edition of Geek Gamer Weekly. This is the podcast where we discuss the top geek and gaming news of the week. And we got a great show for you guys. We really, really do. My name is Chase Nunes. I help orchestrate this chaotic cast of characters. Starting us off first, fresh from his trek in the mountains of the North Cascades, here he is, Mr. John Kessler. John, bring the microphone over.
Oh, hi, folks.
Hey, John.
Yes, how?
I mean, literally, you just jumped off the mountain.
Yep, just jumped off the mountain.
And walked into my house.
Yep, big step.
And how was your day today?
Great.
That's awesome.
A lot of driving.
That's it?
Yep.
All right.
Drove up a mountain, drove back down.
You're missing your quote, people are going to be pissed.
Oh, yes. No, you know, I'm doing just ducky.
All right, very good.
There you go.
All right.
I know.
Now, we got no Joseph Falby this week, but don't you fear. We have not one, but two very awesome guests to fill his spot. First off, joining us for the second consecutive week from way back east, where it's now dark and almost 10 in the evening, coming live from the bathroom. Here he is, Mr. John Bubb. What's up, John? How are you?
I'm from Detroit. Don't you know not to mess with me?
Hey, that's
even
right.
Even if I have a shower curtain, I'm from Detroit, yo.
You have a good baseball team.
That's right.
Justin Verlander, very good pitcher. Are you a baseball fan at all, John?
No.
All right, there you go.
I could care less.
I mentioned a name. You're probably like, who's that guy? I have no idea who that guy is.
Detroit has sports teams?
Yeah, they even have a football team and hockey as well.
Oh, wow.
And basketball. Don't forget them. All right. This is great.
Yes.
Introductions are going very, very, very smooth. And now, for someone completely different, joining us from all the way down the street, here he is, the head proprietor of Jupiter Broadcasting. Here he is, Mr. Chris. My good friend.
Hello there, Chase.
Fisher.
Hello there, Chase. I am reporting on location just down the street. I can confirm that everything is just fine down here, and we can continue on.
Very good. Jupiter Broadcasting.
Are you reporting from the vice presidential debate?
Nope.
No.
Chris
I swore that was where you were at.
Chris would so be there if he could, though.
Not about the vice president. Maybe the presidential.
I mean, you could probably get those tickets dirt cheap, man. I mean,
yeah,
dirt
yeah.
cheap.
Maybe. You might be right, Chase.
I'm serious. Right. Where is that even being held? Does anybody know? I don't even know.
No. It's actually, it's just like the moon landing, the same place they stage that at. That's where they're holding the debates. It's because they already have all the cameras set up and everything.
Mm.
Chris does a multitude of shows over there at Jupiter Broadcasting. I think Chris does at least 27 different shows, all in great taste and awesome fun.
Well, thank you, Chase. Of course, you do one of those shows with me, the Unfiltered Show.
That's right, which is a great show, coming up on episode number 21.
Can you believe that? Almost old enough to drink, which is awesome. And the Linux Action Show, the world's largest, longest-running Linux podcast.
That's right.
That's on there.
That's until Leo Laporte starts one, and then we're screwed, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. But I still have TechSnap and SciByte and FoShow to fall back
That's
on.
Right.
So I'm diversified.
You know what? I just realized like 3 weeks ago, Chris, and this is honest to goodness truth, that you know TechSnap stands for the Systems Administrator Podcast.
Systems Networking and Administration Podcast.
Yeah, I thought that was very, very, very snappy. I like that.
You like that?
I like that a lot.
You want to know, honestly, our first, well, it was my first concept. Alan kind of rejected it. But I even had some demo art done for a show called Tech Fap, because it was going to be like we were going to be very excited about technology and just covered all that kind of stuff. And then as the show kind of evolved, that name was rejected.
Tech Fap? That would have been awesome.
Still a good name.
I think we should bring it back, man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We've got a great show lined up for you guys. A lot of great things to talk about. But first story is going to be our top story. And our top story is going to be... Oh, crap. I didn't have it queued up right. Here is our top story. Now, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but last week, T-Mobile announced that they are in talks with MetroPCS to merge together to create themselves the fourth largest mobile phone provider in the United States. That would be followed by Sprint, then AT&T, and then Verizon.
In other words, nothing changed.
It's the smaller guys are getting better. PCS stands for Personal Communication Service, I believe. I remember when Sprint used to be called Sprint PCS. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So is this a big deal? Is this really a big deal? I'll start off with Mr. John Bubb first. John?
Okay.
Is this a big deal? T-Mobile and Metro PCS getting together, having kids?
It's interesting because there's so much stuff going on because, of course, everybody knows the failed merger between AT&T and T-Mobile. And, of course, Dutch Telecom has always been wanting to get rid of T-Mobile because, quite frankly, they just don't give a crap about T-Mobile. They want nothing to do with it. They don't want to support it. They just want to hand it off to somebody else because they don't want anything to do with it. Right. As far as Metro PCS, because this is a really interesting story, but if you actually read into it, this is more like a reverse merger where – when the two companies do finally combine, Metro PCS will actually run it. However, Dutch Telecom will still own 74% of that company, with Metro PCS owning only about 26%.
Right. It's like they're calling it a reverse merger, and I think the reason why they're doing this is to try to slowly pull themselves away from T-Mobile USA because of the failed AT&T merger. They've been really wanting to find an exit strategy, and they're like, if we get in bed with Metro PCS, maybe we can make that happen. Now, there's a lot of what-ifs, and a lot of people out there are like, what's going to happen? Both providers use different technology. Metro PCS uses CDMA, T-Mobile uses GSM, and a lot of the talks are, well, it doesn't matter because they're both going to be using the same 4G technologies. Now, Mr. Chris,
it's the AWS spectrum that they have.
So, Chris, what do you think about the whole merger swap here? Obviously, this is T-Mobile trying to remain a good value competitor to the other big wireless providers out there. Is this a good move?
Well, I think it probably is tough to say if it's a good move or not. It seems like maybe one of their limited options. T-Mobile is down in value considerably than from when they were going to be bought out by AT&T. So that means that they're struggling still. They haven't really recovered, and they're continuing to decline. So they have to do something. The other problem they're facing is their network is now just considered by most all to be the slowest and also generally the poorest in terms of coverage. The problem is Metro PCS isn't that fantastic either. Two separate technologies, they say that doesn't matter. That sounds like something people say when they don't actually mean it. It fundamentally matters because none of their existing engineers are certified or trained in any of that existing technology. So they're going to have a right down, split down the middle, always division between the two. And they haven't even finalized any migration plans to a final 4G rollout. So how can they say it doesn't matter, we're all going to use the same 4G technology, when they haven't even identified what that future 4G technology is going to be for them? We know it's LTE, but that doesn't actually mean just LTE. There's LTE on different bands, and the AT&T's on some bands, and Verizon's on different bands. Where is T-Mobile going to fit in with that, all of that? And will they be able to get the coverage? I don't see how this helps them with those fundamental problems.
It doesn't.
So in order for this deal to become true and final, there's a few things that need to occur. First off, the deal needs to be approved by shareholders, and regulators in the United States need to approve the deal. Now, remember, when T-Mobile tried to merge with AT&T, it got shut down by the government. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's going to happen this time around? Personally, for me, I don't think it will, because the difference here is they don't want the big two players, AT&T and Verizon, gobbling up competition. Yeah. However, the smaller guys, they kind of need to get together to help compete against the big names. So I think there's really no reason why they wouldn't be approved. But, you know, John, do you think that I'm talking to Kessler here.
Okay.
Now, you're a Sprint customer.
Yes.
Now, when you see these other competitors getting together, I mean, Sprint's still in number three position. I mean, what do you think?
Sprint's just fine in number three right there. They're not too big. They're not the top dog. They're not getting, you know, picked on.
Well, did you hear that Sprint was even possibly considering a counteroffer to get involved with this? Because originally, back in the day, what, 6 months or a year, Dan Hesse, CEO of Sprint, was actually saying, hey, we would love to get Metro PCS. Now, those are two networks that are compatible with each other.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, obviously they didn't jump on it. There must have been some
reason.
Well,
the board, and they shot him down. They said, no. You've already made a mistake with Nextel. We don't want to make the mistake again. But, yeah. So, do you guys think this will finally bring the iPhone officially to T-Mobile? No. Why not?
No, I mean, realistically, this whole thing is not really going to happen until at least 2015, they said, because they had to slowly start moving over the customers from Metro PCS over to the 3G and GSM network that T-Mobile has, which will free up the spectrum that Metro PCS has, where they can actually refarm it over to the LTE spectrum that they want to use.
Okay.
So it's going to take at least 2 years for them to start doing this. So before we even see anything, it's going to be probably around 2015, which is a real shame because Metro PCS has some LTE stuff, but because they're now merging with T-Mobile, it's all basically going to get refarmed, and T-Mobile doesn't have any LTE right now. They just have HSPA Plus,
right,
which is not LTE. While it might be comparable in some areas, it's still going to take so long for them to finally catch up that they're still going to be playing catch up.
Wait.
When Sprint and Verizon already have markets for LTE.
Wait a minute, John. Wait a minute. Now, I have an iPhone here from AT&T, an iPhone 4S, and it says 4G right on my phone. What are you talking about? They don't have 4G. It says right here 4G. Right, it's not there.
4G. It's 4G.
4G.
It's 4G.
4G. Because it's
4G, man.
They could. Marketing terms dictate that you can actually say HSPA Plus is 4G, even though it really is not necessarily LTE.
Okay.
Right. It's really confusing that they do that because I don't think that most people actually know the difference. Even though it says 4G, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have an LTE connection.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about Foxconn. And they're having a dispute right now. The workers are having a dispute in their China factory. This is, in case you guys didn't know, Foxconn makes Apple devices like the iPhone 5.
No.
Yeah. Now, Foxconn has confirmed that there have been two disputes between employees occurred at one of its factories in China. Now, they're saying that this isn't causing any issues. Now, Foxconn is also the company that has put up anti-suicide nets around its factory and other major things. Chris Fisher, is this a major deal here? Does it matter? I mean, obviously, people are still buying the iPhones. People are still buying their iPads. Does it matter?
Well, so reports vary from anywhere from 40 people to 2,000 to 4,000 people that are protesting.
Yep.
Here's what I think is funny. Is Foxconn, you know, all the headlines always say Apple, right?
You're right.
But Foxconn is the number one manufacturer for HP. They make tons of parts for Dell. They make almost all of the laptops for Sony, right? They make they make parts for the Kindle. I mean, come on. I mean, Foxconn makes things for everybody. I think this is a brilliant marketing scheme by Apple.
Oh, you think this is a marketing thing?
It's got to be, right? Because what are they protesting
How?
Over? What are they protesting over?
Bad conditions.
Did you not read the article?
No, I'm asking you guys. What are they protesting over? I'm asking to see if you know.
Well, I know.
What is it? What's the reason?
Go ahead,
John. I think that's the whole sales pitch right there. Because now, because the pitch of this whole story is all of these people took a walk because the quality control conditions were too stringent for the iPhone 5. They're making it too perfect. They're making the iPhone 5 so perfect that it's hard. So they're striking because it's such an amazing, perfect piece of equipment.
Well,
I think that's
what
the marketing message is.
In response to the scratches that people received on their iPhone 5. So Apple said, all right, well, now you need to have more quality control.
Wait a minute.
We're only going to allow a 0.002 millimeter defect in these devices.
And they made a big deal about it. They
can't see with their own eyes. That's humanly imperceptible.
Didn't Apple say, though, that the scratching on the back of the iPhone 5 was normal? This was a normal thing because of the aluminum, you know.
It's supposed to be there.
It's yeah, it's a feature.
It's a feature.
It's a feature.
It helps you grip it better.
Though, I mean, why is this being reported? I mean, so here's what I think. I mean, you're right, though. I'm sure this is probably what happened is Apple got all pissy about the scratches. And they made a big deal about the qualities in the video that had Johnny talking about what an amazing piece of equipment is, and we have cameras that take pictures of 700 bucks and match it with the best.
Hey, I believed that video. I saw that video, and I believed them.
True, right? That's probably the problem.
But you better get yours now because quantities may be limited.
That's true. Well, it was already pushed back to 3 to 4 weeks if you order on their website.
Chinese manufacturing in general could use a quality bump up. And I'm not saying and here's the other story. And here's the other reason why I think this is a marketing pitch. Because they're striking, right? So it's people standing up. It's like they're unionizing.
They're striking because they can't kill themselves. That's the problem, right?
That's the difference.
Better conditions, human rights.
Suicide to now they just strike. And they have so it's almost sounding like they're standing up for themselves. They have workers' rights. They have freedom of choice, independence. They're standing up against the man. They're organizing. All of these subtexts, to me, actually indicate progress.
That's Apple. They're for the little guy.
Well, I mean, yeah, Apple's coming to the defense of Foxconn, saying that they have, you know, good working conditions and they don't do underage labor and all that.
Anymore.
All they need to do is start a reality TV show now.
What would you call it?
The Real Workers of Foxconn.
The Real Workers of Foxconn. Oh, man. Now, this is not a gaming story, so we haven't moved on to gaming topics yet, so we're getting close to. But to coincide with the launch of Windows 8, now they're saying this is not connected, but on the same day the Windows 8 is released to general audiences around the world, Xbox Music will be launching on October 26th. It's going to be kind of like a Spotify competitor in a way. It's going to be free ad-supported streaming. You'll be thumbing it up and thumbing it down, depending on the music.
Oh, yeah, like Zune Music Pass.
Yeah. So it's not connected.
Zune Music Pass you had to pay for, though, right? I mean, it wasn't free. Zune Music Pass you had to pay for it. It was like $15 a month. But you got like 10 songs, which was really nice. But anyway, why is Microsoft doing this? I mean, there are other providers out there that provide great music services. Pandora, Spotify,
Winamp.
Winamp. Yeah.
Shoutcast.
There's other services like TuneIn. Why is Microsoft getting involved with this? Is this their way to try to keep the music ecosystem and Zune and everything all together?
It's all connected.
Man, John, you're zany today.
Thank you.
Why are they keeping this, Chris? Why are they doing this?
Chase, if you could answer this question, you would solve one of the fundamental questions I've always had about Microsoft. It's like they see somebody else in the market, and they just have to do it. And the crazy thing about Microsoft is they can just iterate over a period of years and years and years. But here's where we're at. But you guys remember Microsoft launching a streaming music service with MTV like years ago? Right?
Was that Real Player? No, I'm just kidding.
They had some sort of. It started with a U. They had like this whole special music service. MTV. That died, right? Then they launched the Windows Media Store that had streaming stations in it. That's nowhere to be found. Now they've launched the Zune Music Pass. That's, I guess, a thing still. I don't know how it integrates with Xbox and Windows 8 anymore. And now they have Xbox Music. Now, okay. I mean, see, the thing is, we forget, as I think more of desktop users, is that the Xbox is an entire ecosystem unto itself, right? It has.
And now they're trying to integrate it with Windows 8 and Windows Phone.
Right. So you can launch something just on the Xbox and have it be successful. And if it ties in with Windows Phone, I mean, it's one thing to have your own. I guess they want to have something they can provide, but I think it's kind of silly.
You better come free with the Gold Pass. On Xbox.
That's
a great point. Wow, John, congratulations. Point of the show. That's a great point. I mean, I know Joe's, I think Joe's watching the show right now, and that's one of the things that Joe, you know, he's like, he doesn't pay for Xbox Live Gold, you know, because what do you get when you pay that $60 when you get these services free with any other platform? Like, why do you have to pay $60 to have Netflix on your Xbox when you can just use something else and get Netflix with your paid subscription. Why doesn't Xbox offer this as a free perk? If you have an Xbox Live Gold, you get Xbox streaming music for free. But how do you get people to move away from what they love? I mean, you got people out there who love Pandora. You got people who love Spotify. I mean, John Bub, do you use any streaming music service at all?
I use Pandora from time to time, but that is my question too. Is that they have? Excuse me for a moment. Sorry about that.
John is not sitting at a kitchen table.
I had a frog in my throat.
John is sitting at a desk, by the way. I see the chat.
Yeah. The fact that there's already established music source out there, such as iTunes, which is huge. Everybody has iTunes already. Even if you're a Windows user or an Android user, you've probably used iTunes. And for those people that do have iTunes accounts and have used it extensively, what do they do?
Right.
If you're already set up with the iTunes ecosystem, then why would you want to move away to Windows?
Yeah.
Even if they have this SkyDrive integration, you already have all this stuff purchased in iTunes.
Well, maybe it's because of the fact that, you know, with Windows 8 and then the integration on the phone side of things, you have your music everywhere, because this music service is also coinciding with the Microsoft SkyDrive. So you'll have your music stored on the SkyDrive, and then you'll be able to listen to your music on your Xbox and on your phone all through this one service, everything all together.
But that still doesn't dismiss the fact that if you already have everything set up with iTunes, you've already purchased probably $300 worth of music in iTunes. What do you do?
Yeah. I don't think they're going after the iTunes customers. So this is...
Well, are you talking about old iTunes purchase music or new stuff? Because the new stuff is all DRM-free now. So you can pull that into your Windows phone or whatever, and it's no big deal.
Exactly. This is more about Windows Phone and Xbox 360 than it really is about the desktop. And desktop users and iPhone, iPad, and I don't think those customers are who Microsoft's aiming this at.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Windows 8, because this is going to be launching with Windows 8 here in a few weeks on October 26th. And as Microsoft is gearing up for Windows 8, they are tweaking some of their applications that they have made in time for the release. So like I mentioned, they are tweaking SkyDrive. You know, users are going to be able to hook in the mail application, calendar, Bing, news, sports. They're actually asking people if there were any apps that they wanted to include. And a lot of people were... Now, this was prompted and pushed by Todd Cochran of Blueberry and many, many other major partners out there trying to get a podcast app on Windows 8. Because right now, there is no official podcasting support for anything like that, or internet broadcasting, or anything like that.
Yeah, Microsoft's always been really slow to adopt podcasting. They don't really feature it well in many of...
Well, they did, at least they do in the Zune software, and they do on the Zune site.
I could actually have even the podcast directory is good in the Zune software, but even putting it a little more up in front in Zune would have been nice.
Do you think the reason why they don't support podcasting really push it is because the whole word podcasting and it makes people think of iPods and Apple?
It's not really a community that embraces Microsoft a lot all the time, although there's plenty of shows that do.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Wait, are we having another podcasting versus what do we call it discussion?
No. I mean, it's more along the lines of, is that the reason why Microsoft doesn't have a major push or support and have a podcast app? I mean, a lot of people listen to podcasts. A lot. I mean, there's a huge audience out there. Why doesn't Microsoft embrace them a little bit?
I do think they kind of need to do this. So I don't necessarily agree that they're doing this, but I do see that they kind of need to do this. And with their grand scheme of Windows 8 now, they need to have all this stuff together.
Right. Yes, that's true. You guys have any opinions about Windows 8 at all in a couple of weeks? Are you going to be using it, Mr. John?
Oh, we have plenty of opinions here.
Well, are you going to be... I mean, eventually you won't be able to get Windows 7. It's only going to be Windows 8.
They'll extend support for another 5 years.
You're not...
I did it with Windows XP.
Yeah. I've been running it on, I've loaded it about on 7 or 8 systems, one of my own, doing testing for a client who has software that runs on Windows. And, you know, I've had about a dozen users sit down to do software validating. And, man, do they get lost in that Metro UI. It's a whole 180 spin for them. They have just no idea how to use it.
Yeah.
So that
well,
that's
because
though,
you're using it on a non-touch interface.
Well, right. You mean like 99.9% of all corporate desktop installations
right
out there. I mean, that's
yeah,
what they're. That's what people are going to be deploying.
You know, if you use that on a tablet, I can see, you know, yeah, it might make yeah more sense because just the way your mind works when you're holding a tablet that's completely touch is completely different than the way you use something that actually has a keyboard and a mouse. Yeah.
That said, though, you know, once you drop out of the Metro UI and get down to classic Windows, it kind of just looks like Windows 7 without a start menu. It's the fastest performing release of Windows I've ever used. And like you know, on an SSD, it boots so fast that you think that like the screen's flashing from the BIOS to like the starting window screen, and it's actually flashing from the BIOS to the login screen. And I mean, it's almost like they've just cut out the whole boot process. And then but then the stupid part is you have to click to swipe the screen up because it's like a full screen lock screen now. And then when you get in, it takes you full screen Metro immediately. It doesn't bring you to the desktop at all. And then you have to jump out to the desktop. And things can get weird for users because there's multiple versions of Internet Explorer. There's desktop Internet Explorer, and then there's Metro Internet Explorer. And they have different capabilities, so they don't do the same things, like watch Netflix and things like that. So it's very confusing for end users. But for regular users, there's already third-party start menus out there, like Start 8 from the Stardock people. You load that on there, it'll even disable the Metro starting at login, which takes a little bit of hackery. And it's not so bad. I just don't know why there's no compelling switch from Windows 7 unless you have to have every millisecond of performance increase. I just don't see it.
A little bit later on in the show, we'll talk about gaming performance with Windows 8 because a lot of people have already done tests with
oh,
it.
Oh, really? That'd be interesting. Because I, you know, I'm not talking gaming at all. I'm talking like you know, the Explorer UI interface and like the launch times for applications.
Actually
I have not
using
actually
it.
Played any games, yeah.
Hey, John Kessler, are you going to install Windows 8 on your touch screen laptop there?
Negative.
Why not? It'd be perfect for your electronics.
Negative.
Why?
Just fine as it is.
Why do you keep moving your mic back and forth?
I'm just messing with you.
No, you should, man. You get a perfect touch screen interface. It's perfect.
Nah.
No.
It'll actually work right for you.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. Actually, it would probably just die, huh? Probably yes. Couldn't even handle it.
That all would right be interesting to see how Windows 8 actually does on older devices that it necessarily wasn't meant to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, John, we mm-hmm should totally do that. Mm-hmm. We should give it a try.
Mm-mm.
No?
Actually, I think I have another hard drive for this.
Dude, we need to do it live. We need to install Windows 8 live on the Eutronics Weezer.
And
see if it fails.
See, do it from a thumb drive. It goes a lot faster.
There you go, John. John does have one USB port on the laptop. Seriously, he just has one.
One.
That's kind of that'd be an edge case. definitely an edge case.
Man, this laptop could kill people. Our last geek story, which I forgot to bring up when we were talking about AT&T and cell phones and T-Mobile. I don't know if you guys knew this, but starting today, they are trimming down their return in service cancellation period from 30 days to 14 days. All right. I know, Chris, probably a non-story. A lot of people like to bash AT&T, but they're one of the last companies to actually do this.
I don't like it.
You don't like it? Why not? Are you trying to take back your iPhone?
No, but you know, exactly. If I went and got something new and I had buyer's remorse after a few days, it's just, you know, to be fair, 14 days is kind of enough time to know if you have signal at your house or something like that. So I'm on the fence. I prefer 30 days as a customer service thing, but you know what, probably part of it is some of the smartphone hardware vendors won't accept it after that period either for returns.
Well, what's going to happen here is everything's going to be 14 days except for California, because they have a law in California that makes it 30 days for all prior
fancy
returns.
Fancy California.
Yeah. What's up, John? You're going to say
nothing.
Something? No. Okay. All right. Hey, let's move on to some gaming topics, shall we?
Can we?
Do you guys know who Kevin Butler is?
No.
Kevin Butler was the guy. I should have you know what? I should pull that up right now. Kevin Butler is a gentleman. He's an actor, and he did the Sony ads for, you know, he was the fictitious vice president of research. Did you guys
yeah,
know
yeah
these ads?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're
talking
about.
All right, let me see if I can find one here. Kevin.
These are like he's like the funny straight straight guy, kind of jokey guy.
Yeah, and he was doing a whole bunch of PlayStation 3 commercials.
Hi, I'm Sony guy, and I'm telling you about something in this Sony guy voice.
Right, right. So, like, here's a commercial from Kevin Butler.
For everyone.
Dear PlayStation, my kids never want to hang out with me, but wait till they see this.
Yeah, not to be Buzzkill McGee here, but a better way to spend time with Kyle, Abby, and your lovely wife Jenny is to buy them a PS3 with Blu-ray movies and games like Little Big Planet. It's fun for the whole family. And way less, you know, lethal.
Jenny, how did you...
Ooh, Scraps likes you.
All right, so anyway, that's the guy. That's Kevin Butler. He did a whole bunch of those commercials.
I was going to crap on it until they had that dog licking her on the neck at the end. That's funny.
Did he also do some Geico commercials?
Yeah, he did Geico commercials as well. Yeah, he's done a lot of different things. Yeah. So anyway, Jerry Lambert, that's the guy's real name. Kevin Butler was the fictional name.
Oh, I like Kevin Butler a lot better.
He's being sued by Sony over breach of contract. So he was in a commercial, a Bridgestone Tires commercial, where he can be seen playing a Wii. And doing an overacting style, kind of like he did in the Sony commercials. So Sony, now since the commercial was aired, he was edited out of these ads, but it didn't matter. Sony went ahead and started the lawsuit anyway. And this is what they said. Quote, "We've invested significant resources in bringing Kevin Butler character to life, and he's become an iconic personality directly associated with PlayStation products over the years. The use of Kevin Butler character to sell products other than those from PlayStation misappropriates Sony's intellectual property, creates confusion in the market, and causes damages to Sony." So there you go.
Man, could you imagine if Apple was doing this, how nuts the press would be going with this one?
Well, the press is kind of going nuts with this. We're talking about it.
Oh, nothing. Nobody goes nuts like when it's an Apple story. Now, see, if Steve Jobs was still in charge, this never would have happened in the first place.
Oh,
I just wanted to put that in there. I just thought that felt like that should go in there.
Oh, okay.
No, this is silly. So what this is there's kind of like this code as an actor. Like, if you become the product pusher for a company, you really are supposed to commit to that. And you're not like – So, what's his name? The guy that does Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe, right?
Rowe.
If you saw him in a Chevy commercial, he'd get in a lot of trouble from Ford.
Yeah, but there's a lot of non-compete clauses in these contracts, and I bet you there was one in his contract that he signed or his agent signed.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying there's bro code, too. There's actor bro code.
Bro code, that's true.
There is. There's a bro code about this kind of stuff. So, I mean, yeah, he broke bro code. I mean, but Sony's being a bunch of jerks, too, but...
Yeah. What it all comes down to is the guy's got to make money, right?
This guy's probably rich, right?
Well, you know, that's what
he
makes
me wonder.
He still
has to earn a living.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to keep
good for this guy.
He's got to keep high standards for his living to pay for all of his PlayStation equipment.
If he could get in on a 360 commercial, he'd have all his bases covered. This guy could be getting Wii money, PS3 money, and 360 money. This guy's smart.
He would have the trifecta of consoles.
I'm white. I could wear a tie and a jacket.
Oh, God.
I mean, what do I got to do to get that gig? That'd be great.
You got to shave the beard.
Actually be an actor.
Oh.
I'm on the internet.
Oh, damn.
Hey, if you're on the internet, you're halfway there.
Counts.
Yeah, okay.
That's true.
Maybe I'll just keep putting my vibe out there. And
all right, so we're all guys. Right, John?
Yeah.
And John?
Yeah.
Both Johns say yes.
Yes.
And Chris is in agreement.
No comment.
All right. No comment. According to Nielsen, which is a company that I'm very familiar with.
Never heard of them.
All right. Well, they do TV ratings and stuff. Basically, they did a study and they found that women watch more TV than men. However, when there's a console involved, it actually makes men watch more video and television. Specifically, women between the ages of 18 and 34 watch an average of 4 hours and 11 minutes of TV per day, whereas men in the same age bracket, 3 hours and 34 minutes. However, console usage is up with men watching TV through consoles. And, you know, so they're finding that if a home has a console, they're watching more television as opposed to a home that does not have a console. Does this mean anything other than we need to get out more? Chris Fisher.
I agree with Chase. I think 4 hours is a little depressing. Yeah. If you think about the amount of human time that could be spent doing something else. But this, to me, does make sense because the console is like a toy. It's a gadget. It's something you spent money on. And the guys, we not that we bond with it, but we like if we've bought something and it does these features, we're more inclined to use it.
Right. What do you think, Mr. John Bubb?
Well, let's face the facts here. This is a gender issue. The fact that, I mean, look.
I like how you said that, by the way. This is a gender issue. Let's go to John Bubb to talk about this gender issue. John, what is in your report?
I'm not trying to be sexist or anything here, but let's face the fact here.
All right, stop. Hold on. Stop. Whenever you say something that says, I'm not trying to be sexist, the next sentence that comes out of your mouth will be sexist. So go ahead and continue.
Hey, I prefaced it.
Go ahead, Mr. Sexist.
It's an Xbox. Women generally aren't gamers. I mean, the men and women that play games. That's all I'm saying. I'm stating a fact here. So if you think about it that way, it doesn't really surprise me the fact that more men are going to be more inclined to use.
I can't believe you just went there. Really? You just
Whatever.
Went there?
I mean, hey, I'm going to facts.
Well, let me see. Whoa, facts?
Yeah.
Facts.
You better check your facts, man.
If you look at the chart on the article that I just talked to you guys about, women is still beating men with TV viewing with console usage as well. Women game just as much as men. They may not game the same games as men do, but they do game. We've done stories on this show talking about women. They're huge in social games on computers, for example, than guys are. Granted, yeah, we're big first-person shooters and all that fun jazz, but a lot of women play word games and games with friends online and things like that, Scrabble and other things like that.
So what you're saying is that social games have just replaced women going out and playing bridge.
It's still games. It's still gaming. It's still gaming. I mean, hell, I know that, like, great example, Chris's wife is a huge gamer. She plays Minecraft. She's very big into that.
She's probably playing it right now.
Yeah, probably. My wife's big in the Torchlight 2. I was going to say, John does not have a wife. are you married, John? Bub?
No.
Oh, okay. So, all right, so, John.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
No, but... But guys are watching less TV than women, but when it comes to bringing in with consoles, they're watching TV more.
I would be curious to see what these stats are for the internet.
For the interwebs?
Yeah, like do guys spend more time online? Do the ladies spend more time online? Or is it all a wash? You know, I kind of look at this stuff and I think it seems more like it's sort of self-selective in the sense that if a household has a console, it probably is whoever is the proponent of that console is more likely to use it more, I would think.
Yeah.
So if the woman brought the console in, then she's going to be more inclined to want to use it.
You know, it's interesting when I excuse me for a minute. I was clearing my sinuses. When I first met my wife, she did not have a console. She didn't own one, and I invited her over to my house, and we were playing games. We were playing Halo on my Xbox.
Naked Halo.
It was really, really...
kicked your ass.
Actually, it was called Hot Halo. It's kind of like, hot yoga. But anyway, so we were playing Halo, and she liked it so much that she went and purchased an Xbox so she could have Halo, so she could play it. And this was when, the Xbox was still being sold with those big, huge boomerang controllers, those huge ones?
Yeah.
So the women are out there that game, and they have their own games that they like. I mean, for example, like Farmville and Crimeville and all these vills, like Zynga. I don't know if you guys saw this story, but Zynga is they're in. Shut up, John. Don't have to be completely obvious. But but talking about Zynga, they're in trouble right now. Their revenue is down 14% in the first 6 months of 2012.
The women
are not playing Zynga.
they saw that article and said, "Oh, we're
who's
done."
Going there?
What's that?
Now who's going there?
John's going there. John.
They saw the Nielsen ratings and said, "Oh, we're done."
No.
Well, come on. Let's just face the facts. We want to talk about facts. We'll talk about facts. Zynga games suck.
Well, Zynga games, it's the drug user
It's the gateway.
They're built around a model that sees
the drug user model.
Here's what happened, right? Is Facebook had to change the way the timeline works because people are getting all pissed off about the spam. So now they put all the little crap up in the sidebar, which nobody notices.
Right.
And so now people aren't getting they're not getting the viral spam all the time. So the games aren't spreading like crazy.
Right.
And Bob's your uncle. They're not making money.
Well, not only that. But you know how if you want to build up your farm, you have to buy Zynga coins or whatever, you know? And a lot of people are like, dude, why am I wasting money on something that doesn't really matter? This is a fictitious farm on the interwebs. Well, why does this matter? I should actually take that money and build a farm in my backyard.
No, I disagree. I think our monkey brains respond pretty well to that kind of stimulus and reward system and social stuff. I just think it hasn't been done quite right. I think what these were the prototype systems, and then somebody who's really gonna really milk us will come along, and it'll really be devastating to a lot of families.
This is
yeah. You might as well spend your money on like things like WoW.
Yeah, or Eve, right? Yeah. Now this is my fault. This is my fault because I don't accept any of those game requests from any of my Facebook friends.
Right.
I don't play any games on Facebook at all. I came really close to playing You Don't Know Jack once. I almost clicked the start button. But you ever realize what kind of information these guys want about you before you can accept to play their app? They want to know everything about you.
They want to be your friend.
No. Well, they want to be my friend and your friend and your friends of your friends.
My problem is I don't need the game socially. Like if I want to play Torchlight or something like that, I don't need to tell everybody that I'm doing it. I probably just want to chill out by myself and play a video game.
That's
and
true.
So there's this whole component. Like, there are some games that I'll just opt not to play because I just don't feel like being social at the time. And the games, so many games these days integrate chat that, you know, you end up having to chat with people just by log in. SOTOR comes to mind. Star Trek Online comes to mind. Minecraft comes to mind. Diablo comes to mind. Borderlands 2 comes to mind. All these games, you end up having to chat if you sign in online. And I don't even want to do that. So why would I want to post about my carrots on Facebook? None of these have ever appealed to me. And I think the part of the problem is there's a huge portion of the population that uses gaming to relax and to kill time. And they're not trying to be a part of a social network, and so these things are fading away, and they'll still be around. They're not going to these headlines that say Zynga's dead, or that's exactly
Wall Street is saying that because of Zynga's woes, it's pulling down Facebook stock. I mean, Facebook stock is down as of last close. They're at $21 a share or $20.91 a share. And if Zynga doesn't improve, that's going to pull down Facebook, because if there's no Zynga, people have reasons to go to Facebook. I can't believe I'm saying that, but that could be true.
Yeah.
I mean,
this whole thing is silly.
Really? How so?
I don't know. I just see Zynga as one of those companies that's kind of like MySpace, where, you know, there's a time for them. And then eventually their time passes. Everybody moves on to the next big thing or whatever it is that's
harsh.
Relevant at that time.
It's a leech that's attached itself to Facebook and is just sucking off the...
Well, Zynga's eventually gotten full, and now it's going to remove itself. I don't know.
You know what else part of the problem is? I wonder if a lot of the casual gaming, because that's what this all is, casual stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Move to mobile, right?
Well, Zynga's moved to mobile, but not a lot of people's moved with Zynga to mobile.
Not so good, though. And so
no.
The problem with mobile is there isn't a unified... See, the nice thing about Facebook is there's this one centralized contact management system, one centralized group mechanism, one centralized payment system, where iPhone and stuff gets close. Android has their own stuff, and they're all separate, individualized. It's spread out. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody's got Facebook.
That's true.
Nope.
Couple more.
And yet they're still slipping.
Yep.
So.
Oh, I think yeah. I mean, they're gonna right. They're gonna shrink back to where they should be. It's just that they were too bigger than they should have been, maybe.
All right. Now maybe. Instead of having a social game on Facebook, what you need are bigger breasts.
Yes.
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 Sorry. Always.
Video gamers demanding bigger breasts in their video game characters.
Chase already has bigger breasts.
Upgrade.
Oh, man.
Unlocked.
Achievement unlocked.
What's funny is the comic I'm reading right now actually has Captain Kirk man boobs on. Of course, you can't see it.
So Japanese it's... video game studio Team Ninja, maker of popular Dead or Alive.
Team Ninja.
Basically, a lot of people in their latest installment of their series, Dead or Alive 5, their characters, per a review from GameSpot, has called their characters, quote, as full-figured as ever, apparently thanks to feedback from the gaming community. They got a lot of feedback, and the feedback was, we want bigger breasts, unquote. So there you go. Proof pudding that more guys want bigger breasts in their video game characters
than ever before. This sounds like a way to grab headlines for an otherwise unrecognizable game to me. This sounds like a PR agency decided to put this out there.
Well, don't you think? I don't know. I mean,
well,
you know.
Then again, sex sells.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yes. Sex sells. I mean, that's what it fundamentally always comes down to is sex sells.
Hey, you know how we get people talking about our game? Tell them about the boobs. Hey, you know what you got to do? What? Get Joe to write something about the boobs and send it off to Fox News. They'll put a thing up on their site about it because I love the stuff about video games. That's what this is.
No. I think what it is, you know, gamers want bigger breasts because they don't go outside.
Well, I'm not saying that's not true, too.
They don't go outside, and so they want to have something good to look at on their HGTV, and this is the best way of doing it.
Why not just give me customized options like an MMO, you know?
Well,
slide the boob scaler.
The problem is the boob scaler sliding option doesn't go far enough to the right. That's the problem. You max out. Why are we talking?
That would be kind of interesting, though, if you could actually change the character's bra size.
Well, it's probably chest size, they call it. Like, there's a chest slider.
Whatever. I don't play these games that have these large boobed characters.
What games do you play, then, John?
I don't play any games.
That's the problem. You need to play more games with big-breasted characters.
I probably do.
That's what you need to do.
Hey, Chase, I have an email here from the people who make Minecraft, and they say one of the biggest pieces of feedback they've gotten is their players need their characters in the game need bigger boobs. I mean, of course every player is going to say that.
Because
podcasters need bigger boobs.
Man, now both Johns are banned from the show. Wow, man, two Johns down. Hey, you pre-orders have pretty much sold out everywhere, and because of that, the gouging has begun online. They're going for about $750 on eBay. If you had the cash, would it be that important to buy a Wii for $750 online? I mean, just to be assured that you have one? Man, John?
What?
What the hell are you doing over there? Did that come from my garage? Oh, yeah, it did. No, he was opening up a Pepsi throwback. How is that, by the way?
Product placement.
Product placement, indeed. How is that, John?
Just ducky.
All right, very good. Would you pay $750 for a console, Mr. Chris Fisher? Go.
No. No, not, probably not for any console, actually. Of course not for the Wii. And, boy, I missed your skeptical pants tonight, but who's buying this? Right? I mean, come on. Nintendo is like a 100-year-old company, and they still have not figured out manufacturing to scale that they can't keep up with pre-orders ever for any console they ever launch. They always sell out. Really? Really? How many could they be selling?
Hey, they better sue Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least they can make 5 million phones in a weekend.
Hey,
but they sold out.
I just glanced down at my phone. I don't usually look at my phone too much while we're doing a show. Just because, you know, we're doing a show. But I glanced down at my phone, and I saw that our good friend Joe sent me a text. And I don't know. I'm going to try to hold this up to the camera so you guys can see that.
Okay.
Do you guys see what I see there?
What's he got there?
Well, I know you're on a little bit of a delay. But on the right side of the picture is an iPhone 4S. And on the left, it appears to be an iPhone 5.
Oh, okay, cool.
So Joe is now part of the collective.
Good going, Joe.
Well, he was already a part of the collective. He just upgraded his stock in the collective.
Upgrade.
I wanted to toss it back to you then. Would you spend $700? You're more of a console gamer. Would you spend $700 for a Wii?
No, hell no. No freaking way.
No lie.
No. What? No. Hell no. How can I be so abrupt on this? No. Hell no. No way. No how. I mean, I will be buying a Wii U, sure. But I would not spend $750, especially when I'm going to buy another pad, some games, you know, things like that. Why in the hell would I spend $750?
Cheapskate.
I'll wait. I'll wait patiently. That's my goal. I will wait patiently.
This is no difference than anybody else that has a product that's up for pre-order and they have access to eBay. That's all there is to it. You see it with Apple. You see it with any other company that does pre-ordering.
Now, granted, if I had a pre-order for a Wii U, let me ask you guys this. If you had a pre-order for a Wii U guaranteed in your pocket, would you turn around and go to eBay with it? Chris?
No. Triple your money.
Oh, probably not if I actually cared that much. See, the thing about the Wii U that I'm just surprised, it's just not even on my radar at all. I kind of wanted a Wii. That's just not compelling to me. So if I was in the market, though, and had one, I'd probably hold on to it because I would have it, right?
Right.
I wouldn't sell it.
Right. All right. Well, there we go. There's our gaming stories for the week.
Okay.
And we're going to move on now to something that we like to call our picks of the week. These are highlighting some things that we'd like here at Geek Gamer Weekly. These can be geeky or gaming related. And we're going to start off with one of our guests, Mr. Chris Fisher. You're going to be up first. What's your pick of the week?
Chase, I wanted to pass along something to the folks. If they're ever having a bad gaming experience, I'm sure you have some Minecraft Me audience members who watch this show, and maybe they have really laggy connections to the Minecraft server, or you're on a Skype call and your video keeps dropping, or you're having lots of kinds of Skype issues, and you've done a speed test, and you've got good bandwidth, you know, maybe something pretty decent on speedtest.net, but you're still having problems, well, then I have another tool for you. It's the ICSI Netalyzer tool. And it's over at netalyzer.ics.berkeley.edu, but probably it's easy to find a link for it. Okay. Just search for Netalyzer if you want. And what it is a Java plugin that runs a bunch of network diagnoses, and it determines what can communicate in and out of your firewall, determines what kind of latency, if you're experiencing types of packet loss on different routes to the internet. It's a full-fledged diagnostic service that takes place from your machine to their services online, and can give you like a, by the way, your router is blocking this, or it's dropping these connections, and maybe this is why you're experiencing this problem. And so it's a nice tool. And the other thing that's really great about it is you can pass it around to friends and say, well, run this if you're having problems and tell me what this says. And this combined with speed test, you can get a pretty good picture of what somebody's internet connection looks like.
All right. So what I'll need to do is I can't show it right now because I just ran it.
Chase, how could I work under these conditions?
Well, I need to restart the browser for it to work.
And it needs Java.
It needs Java.
That's
but
the downside.
Have you used it? I mean, have you gotten successes from it?
Yeah. It's really great for like a lot of things like Xbox Live or Skype or different programs require a universal plug and play, for example, to talk to your router. And this will do diagnostics to tell you if your router supports universal plug and play and if it's able to open up ports for things like that. So I've used this for clients and I've used it just for friends that are, you know,
now,
like always.
What if you're having issues
connection.
With like bandwidth? Like, can you tell if your ISP is throttling you at certain times?
This won't necessarily tell you about that. Speedtest.net might be a little closer of a tool to do that, but. See, the problem is the ISPs, most of them can write to the tool, and they say, oh, well, they're using this tool, which comes from these IPs, so we'll just make the benchmark look good for that. Or like in the case of Comcast, they have the burst mode where it bursts just long enough for the speed test, and then after the speed test, it goes down.
The bubble broke.
This is more like testing latency and connection issues and things like that outside of bandwidth.
Very, very cool. And how'd you find this? I mean, this is such an obscure URL.
I believe Mr. Steve Gibson on the Security Now podcast recommended it a couple of years ago, and I caught an episode of it, and I've kept it in my toolbox ever since.
Very cool. Well, thanks for the pick, Mr. Chris. Man, awesome stuff. John Kessler, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is actually, I'm going to turn it into my anime pick of the week.
John's anime pick of the week.
And this would actually go right in hand with the gamers that prefer the bigger boobs.
Bigger boobs.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 gamers approve of this show. It's called Total Eclipse. The time frame that this is supposed to take place in here on Earth is 1973. And they're battling in a big invasion of extraterrestrials that are just hammering everything. It is kind of a mech sci-fi.
So it looks like it just launched back in July.
Yep.
And it's still ongoing.
It's ongoing.
Is it good?
No, it's terrible. That's why I pick it as a pick of the week.
I mean,
no,
is it really good?
No, it's actually, yeah, it's pretty decent.
Okay.
Pretty decent. You know, and it's nice because the fact, at least watching it on, you know, insert product placement, Crunchyroll, you know, that's actually coming out in 1080. So, you know, the graphic quality is pretty good on the show.
Okay.
And it's got a pretty fairly decent storyline. And you're probably going to, well, it's in the show notes, so it's going to, if anybody wants to check it out, I'll drop this into the IRC chat for people.
By the way, speaking of breasts, my wife showed me this show called High School of the Dead.
Oh, I've seen that.
And I saw it for the first episode yesterday for the first time. And man, I mean, it's very...
Oh, let me Google this.
Yeah,
High School of the Dead.
It's High School of the Dead. Yeah. Actually, it's on Netflix. You can get it on Netflix.
Yep, that one's on Netflix.
It's crazy. Anyway, there you go. There's John's pick of the week. John Bub, what's your pick of the week, man?
My pick of the week is a application for Windows. It's called Elpis. And
man. Jeez.
I know it's a funny sounding name, but it's a native client for Pandora Radio on Windows. It's so cool. Because a lot of times, you know, I love Pandora, but I don't necessarily want to open up another browser window just for Pandora. I just want something that's a little bit more minimalistic, kind of small, that I can just launch and leave it running in the background. I don't have to dedicate a window or a tab to it. And that's why I really like Elpis, is because it's a whole native Pandora radio client for Windows. It does practically everything that you can do with Pandora in this little client. You can view, sort, and select stations, play, pause, and skip. You can see the cover and artist for whatever song is playing. You can find information about that. You can thumbs up, thumbs down. You can do everything that you want to do. You could edit your quick mix. It can automatically reconnect when your session times out, which is really cool. So a lot of times if you're like listening in your browser, they'll say, "Are you still listening?" And you have to click the button that says yes, and that can be a little bit annoying. So this automatically clicks that button for you. You don't even have to see it. It just does it automatically for you. It'll automatically log in for you and bring up the last station that you're playing. So it's really cool. So all you do is you launch it, it'll start logging in, and then it'll load your favorite station or whatever station you were playing last. It's really cool. It's one of the best, and I think the only Pandora client that's out there that you don't have to use your browser for.
Do you get unlimited skips?
I think you can get unlimited skips.
Oh, so it even goes around the Pandora rules a little bit.
Yes, it does. You don't even get ads with this.
The other really nice thing about it is you don't have to have Flash at all on your computer, right? So I have a couple of computers I don't install Flash on anymore. And so I have been using it for Pandora sans Flash. It's very nice. There's a couple other ones out there. Pithos is available for Linux, P-I-T-H-O-S. And Piano Bar, I think, P-I-A-N-O Bar, is available for the Mac. And we'll do it outside of Pandora.
Wouldn't that be Piano Bar?
Yeah, I mean, the other great thing is that the developer is always keeping track of any changes that happen with Pandora's, and he's very quick to update the client so that if there are any changes, if it is broken, it gets fixed pretty quickly.
Very cool. Very cool. I've been looking for a Pandora client when I'm on the PC, and I don't necessarily want to go to the website.
Right?
Exactly. I just hate wasting a whole window or a tab just to go to their website. I just want like a music player playing in the background.
Wow, these are some you know, I gotta say, I love these picks so far. They've been obscure things that, you know, that are very useful and very cool that a lot of us may not even know about. So far we're batting 1,000 until now. My pick this week is a website called Rafflecopter, and this will link into the raffle that I will talk about here shortly. But Rafflecopter is a website. It's RAFFLECopter.com. I'm not going to spell out the whole thing. But basically, this is a website that allows you, if you are someone who wants to have a raffle. So it'll help you create, run, and enter raffles for free. And now, if you want to use their free part of it, that means you'll see their branding. It's free. However, if you want your own branding, like if you have your own website, for example, and you want your logos within their interface, then you have to pay for that. But I have found that their free solution works just fine for me. They do not collect any of your information other than to get you started, to send, you know, send you an email to get you started on your way. Now, I will show you how it works in real time with our raffle that we're holding right now. So if you head over to geekgamer.tv/RoxioRaffle, and that's R-O-X-I-O, raffle, it'll bring you to this page that I'm going to bring up here right now. And we are giving away a Roxio GameCap HD Pro capture device. And so if you scroll down the page there, you'll notice that here is a Rafflecopter giveaway. And you have many different ways to earn yourself raffle entries. So, for example, if you tweet about the giveaway, you get one entry. If you follow us on Twitter, you get another one. You subscribe to our channel on YouTube, you get two entries. If you like the Roxio page on Facebook, you get two, and so on and so forth. Now, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you will earn yourself five entries today. I'm going to be giving out a secret password after the show. And if you come back to the page here and you type in that code word for tonight's show, you will earn yourself five entries. Granted, it's got to be the right word. And also, if you nominate us in the podcast awards, you'll get yourself 10 bonus entries. So really, there's many different ways. And the cool thing about it is there's a really cool and nice back office interface, if you will, so you can check the entries, make sure people aren't spamming or using some sort of automated system. You could toss out entries that are invalid. It's a really, really cool interface. And we've used it to give away the Wirecast stuff from our PAX coverage. So if you're a website developer and you're looking to give away something, Rafflecopter might be the answer for you. It plugs right into your website or into Facebook. If you're just on Facebook only, it works there too. Rafflecopter.com. So yeah.
Neat.
Yes. It's very, very cool. It's very, very easy. So there we go. And that's our show for this week. We had a great show. A lot of breasts going on back and forth.
That was the breast show ever.
The breast show ever. Yes. That might, I think that might be the title.
There's been some great memories on this one.
Yes. Been great memories. Mr. John Bubb, we can find you over at your website, Amadeus.com, or you can follow, we can follow you on Twitter, at Suncast.
Good.
And, man, you need to update your site, man. You haven't updated it since the end of September.
Yeah, no, it's been updated since then, has it?
No.
Well, I was out of town yesterday, so I haven't necessarily got around to it, so.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can see the artist that's on there right now, Alex G. She's just got an amazing voice.
Very, very cool. She sang something called 4 a.m.
Yeah, she just put out her first original EP. It's all original songs. She's never done original songs before, and it's really cool to see an artist that's never done an EP or ever had original songs do something like that.
Oh, very cool, man.
It's like the beginning of their career, which is really cool to see the beginning of somebody's career.
And you're seeing it right in the beginning.
Yep.
The beginning of someone's career.
Hmm.
Very nice. Hmm. And follow you on Twitter. We got to do that. At Suncast, S-U-N-K-A-S-T. And you tweet some interesting things, my friend. You really do. It's like, I'm eating popcorn or something. It's like just really obscure tweets.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you see my tweets about the geek glasses?
No.
Oh, man. I was going off on a rant the other day about a TV show that I started watching. And it's just like, where do these geeks find that? They find the biggest, ugliest glasses in the world. And I don't even know where you get these kind of glasses anymore.
I don't know, man. I give up. Mr. Chris Fisher, we can follow you, Mr. Independent Entertainment on Demand, Mr. Chris Fisher.
That'd be me.
Over at jupiterbroadcasting.com and also following you on Twitter at Chris L-A-S. And why don't you tell the peoples out there who may not know of your brilliant website, what is Jupiter Broadcasting?
Well, like you kind of alluded to, it's independent entertainment on demand. We have several shows. And if you're interested in Linux, check out the Linux Action Show. Even if you're a noob or an experienced user, we've been going for nearly 6 years now. We just recorded episode 230 this weekend. If you're interested in development, check out Coda Radio. We talk about all kinds of things from the business end of software development, like selling apps, to just the actual practical getting things done when you're doing software development. TechSnap, if you're into servers and setting up networking and setting up web servers, we talk about all that kind of stuff in TechSnap. Alan Jude joins me, and he's a college professor in computer technology. He also runs Scale Engine, which is a really cool online service that he's
I've
got
heard of them,
of experience in. Yeah. So we have a bunch of great shows. Faux Show with my wife, and we often talk about Minecraft. I know some of your folks like Minecraft, and she has boobs. So if you like Minecraft... So that might be a good cross promo. Yeah, exactly.
Cross promo for boobs or cross promo for Minecraft? I'm confused.
Cross audience reach. People like Minecraft, they like boobs. So I got something for him there. And
I think he's trying to compliment his wife.
We had.
She's probably watching right now. So
I mean, if she's watching, she'd probably be disappointed I didn't emphasize the size of her boobs enough. Very proud of that fact. This last week it wasn't Minecraft though, it was earworms. We did an episode on like famous internet earworms that just get stuck in your head. Yeah. So that was an episode.
Oh yep, and she is in the chat room. Man, talk about boob-tastic. And also, last but certainly not least, we got Mr. John Kessler fresh off his mountain trip in the North Cascades. How was that trip, Mr. John? Was it how was it? I mean, really, could you see for miles? Was it a good?
Yeah, actually, we the one board near they're showing what mountain peaks are. We can see Mount Baker from up there, and they said it was like 58 miles away.
Wow, that's really good.
Any boobs?
Did you see any boobs up there?
No.
Big peaks?
No, sorry guys, just big valleys. You got the pictures.
Well, hey, you can't have good boobs without good valleys.
Yeah, that's true. But you got the pictures there, so you saw them.
Yeah, I don't have them on the right machine to show them off. Well, actually, no, I don't, unfortunately. But
okay. Maybe it's on the machine that has Netalyzer.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
But John's not on Twitter or Facebook or anything. The only way you can get a hold of him is through this show.
Through this show.
During the chat.
Yes.
That's right. By the way, you can also follow me on Twitter if you guys want to, at Nunes, N-U-N-E-S. And don't forget to follow Geek Gamer Network on Twitter, which is at Geek Gamer TV. And if you do that and you want to enter our raffle, you'll earn yourself some entries. And for those who want to earn those bonus entries, stick around, because after the show, I'll be giving you guys a super secret keyword that you can go back to the website and earn yourself your 5 bonus entries just for listening. And by the way, if you missed out on this live episode and you want to earn yourself 5 entries, we'll be doing one more live giveaway of entries on Thursday's edition of Minecraft Me with Joseph Falby. And no doubt, I'll be checking out his iPhone 5 through the webcast on that date. Mm-hmm. Awesome, great stuff. You guys, thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it. We do this show every Sunday evening around 6 p.m. Pacific, unless John is coming down from a mountain. And then we'll wait about 15, 20 minutes as he drops off his friend. You can always find out our current schedule of everything that we do at geekgamer.tv/calendar. And also want to say a big thank you and kind hello to everybody there at the GFQ Network. Guys from Queens. Those guys do some awesome stuff. Paul Thrott, This Week in Radio Tech, What the Tech, a lot of tech names, Tech News Weekly. Man, I didn't realize this, John, but there's like 3 shows with tech in the title right there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And don't forget The Bald Truth with Spencer Coburn.
Yeah, something completely different. And that's on Tuesdays, which is great. But thank you guys for checking us out, and we'll see you guys next week for another edition of Geek Gamer Weekly. Until we all talk again, we are all silent. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Joe. Joe's not here.
John, no, Joe.
No, Joe. Pamela Anderson?